Good morning. Today's daf is Zion in Sanhedrin. We are starting on Vav Amud Beis this morning. We are talking about Pshara. Gemara yesterday introduced us to this topic of Pshara, this compromise. So compromise is not the same thing as Din. Din is you go into the court and the court will decide based on the law. What is the halacha? Someone's going to win, someone's going to lose, but that's Din. That's the way judgment works. On the other hand, compromise, so as I mentioned yesterday, so good compromise, nobody's happy. Or both people are, somewhat accepting of the compromise. So what's better when going into a courtroom? Should the judge extend Pshara? Should he do any kind of compromise whatsoever? So as we saw yesterday, it's a debate amongst the Tanaim, whether or not it's preferable or not. So on Vav Amud Beis, we started already the opinions of some of the Tanaim, and what I'd like to do is I'd like to start again, just to get all the opinions straight. There are a number of opinions on this topic. There are going to be four opinions amongst the Tanaim. The Gemara is going to conclude in which terms of which opinion is favored, so to say, amongst the Amoraim. So let's start again. We are on the very top of Vav Amud Beis, and we did this today. There's a lot of Gemara today. I'm going to read quickly today. Apologies in advance for going a little quicker than normal. Rav Elazar ben Osher, Rav Yossi, Aglilu Amar, also lived Soa. So we start with the opinion of Rav Elazar, son of Rav Yossi, who says that it's prohibited to compromise. If you involve yourself in compromise, you're going to be a chote, you're going to be a sinner. Now, even here, Rashi modifies his position somewhat. When the Gemara says, also live soa, Rashi says, mishabol adin, also a dayanim live soa. So that means when they go into the courtroom, meaning even according to this, I'd say most extreme viewpoint, that you shouldn't be doing compromise. He doesn't reject it out of hand. He just simply says that once you go into the courtroom, that's it. You are locked into a courtroom setting, and therefore you must do din. And anyone who says, who gives any kind of complimentary word to the people who compromise, so that's it's blasphemy, meaning it's not good. Compromise is not good. But rather the din, the judgment, should pierce the mountain, meaning let the judgment take place. And Moshe Rabbeinu was of this opinion that really you should work with din, you should work with judgment. Now, Aaron, on the other hand, so he was all about peace, and he was all about compromise. Shenemar Toros Emes, so as mentioned yesterday, this pasuk, which is out of Malachi, in context seems to be describing Aaron, and it says that he was a man of peace. In other words, he was always the one who instilled peace. So it's just interesting also, just in terms of understanding this opinion of Rav Elazar, who says that you should work with judgment, and Moshe did so, and within that same opinion he said, and oh, by the way, Aaron was all about peace, meaning, and he was all about compromise. So even within this position, already there was somebody who was arguing with Moshe on this very issue. Anyway, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, this is now the second opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. So the only thing that we get from Rabbi Eliezer is nothing to do with compromise, but just simply what else could be done with this pasuk. And what he tells us is that we could do with this pasuk is teach us a different halacha, which the Gemara records a number of times throughout Shas, and that is that if you steal a flower, you steal wheat, you turn it into flour, and then you bake bread, and you knead the dough, and you're mafrish challah, so you don't make a bracha, but rather it's disgusting, it's revolting, considering that it's stolen, even though you made a shinui. Not perfectly clear from the Gemara. The Gemara here is talking about the bracha that you're making on the eating of the bread, or the brachas on the, on the mitzvah of hafresh challah. But in any event, in the context of our Gemara right now, it's just simply saying that we have another dedicated point to make from this pasuk, and it's not talking about compromise. Rabbi Meir Amar Lo Nemar Botela Keneged Yehuda. Rabbi Meir says again, same pasuk, I'm going to apply to a different point, and that is towards Yehuda. Shenemar V'yomer Yehuda Alachav Ma Betza Kinaro Gesachino. Yehuda says to his brothers, what gain is there that we have if we were to kill our brothers? In fact, if you look at Unklus over there on that pasuk, I'm quoting him and I'm not looking inside. But I'm pretty sure, you can fact check me, that Unklus over there says that it's talking about mammon. Meaning Yehuda says there's no profit, there's no monetary gain if we just kill Yosef. Let's tell him. So anyway, v'chol mevarches Yehuda raise minayitz. Now anyone who gives him any kind of credit whatsoever and says, look, he saved Yosef, so ainza mevarchel minayitz. Again, don't say that. Like I said yesterday, I'm so uncomfortable saying this, but the Gemara is essentially saying Yehuda could have done more. Rav Yehoshua ben Karcha Omer. Okay, so now, what do we have right now in this brisa? It's a lengthy brisa. Rabbi Eliezer starts off the brisa by saying that it is it's an iser to engage in compromise. He learns that from the pasuk. Then the brisa quoted two other Tanayim, each one of them not telling us what their opinion is regarding compromise, but telling us what else we could do with this pasuk so that it's not referring to compromise. Then the brisa brings in the opinion of Rav Yehoshua ben Karcha, which is mitzvah litzvah. So he takes the other side of that, which is that not only is it not prohibited to engage in compromise, but just the opposite. Mitzvah, it's a positive commandment to do so. Now, positive commandment over here, don't take me so literally. I do not mean that you're fulfilling one of the Taryag mitzvahs. It just simply means that it is it's condoned. Now, exactly to what degree, stay tuned. We're going to flesh it out as we go through the Gemara. So, truth, mishpat, shalom. Those are three terms which don't necessarily go together. And the Gemara makes exactly this point. Now, if there's justice, there's no peace. Meaning justice means there's going to be a winner, there's going to be a loser. Shalom means we're going to try to make everyone happy. So where do we have both mishpat and shalom? So that's in the world of compromise. It says that David performed mishpat and staka, and the Gemara says, and I don't understand. Again, terms that seem to be exclusive of one another, mutually exclusive of one another. You're right that staka is kindness, giving to somebody who it was in need, and mishpat, just following the strict letter of the law. So that is bitzua, that is that's compromise. Okay, so we have now the opinion of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha, who says that compromise is encouraged, and again, the degree of encouragement, we're going to speak out a little bit clearer in just a moment. Also in Tana Kama, now the Gemara interjects over here, we're still in the middle of the Brisa, the Gemara is telling us that we're going back to the opinion of the Tana Kama. Tana Kama says that it's also lived so that it's prohibited to engage in compromise. So the Gemara now is going to explain what is he going to do with the psukim that we just cited. He goes on to explain. So the Gemara says that it's referring to the following. The judge is judging and finds a winner, finds a loser, and it turns out that the loser happens to be poor. But he feels that was right. Meaning, again, he's adjudicating the case according to the strict letter of the law, and it just turns out that the poor person lost. Okay. Now, and so what do you do, the judge? So you basically say, look, I know I ruled against you. I know you're poor. I know you can't afford it. So you know what? I'll sponsor you. So the judge now sponsors the judgment against the poor person. Zeh mishpat utztaka. So now, that's what the pasuk is talking about. Meaning, nothing to do with compromise, but that's a situation where you can engage both in mishpat and staka. Mishpat lezeh, utztaka lezeh. Mishpat lezeh, sheyechzir lo mamon, utztaka lezeh, sheyisham lo misoch beiso. So on one hand, you did mishpat, you ruled exactly how it should come out, and at the same time, also, you sponsored the poor person who you ruled against, and he has a judgment against him, and you sponsored him. Skip the parentheses. We now go Kashile Larabi Hai L'chol Amol Aniyim Mibayile. So the Gemara says now it's going to be difficult for Rebbe. The L'chol Amol L'Aniyim Mibayile. Now it says L'chol Amol, but really it should be L'Aniyim. Meaning, if this is the way that we're going to interpret the pasuk, that's talking about judging against a poor person. So why would the pasuk end off with the words L'chol Amol? No, the pasuk should have ended off with aniyim. So el afa pishaloshim lemitoch beis ozel mishpat tzedakah. So the Gemara says, even if you don't sponsor the loser, it's still mishpat tzedakah. How so? So the Gemara says mishpat ozel tzedakah lezeh mishpat lezeh sheyachzor lo mamono. So again, so the one who you ruled in favor of, you're returning something that rightfully belongs to him. That's mishpat tzedakah lezeh shoyotz gzeila mitachas yado. And tzedakah, what's the tzedakah over here? What kind of kindness did you give to the one who you ruled against? It's very simple. He stole something. He's holding on to something that doesn't belong to him. And now, basically, what's the kindness? Kindness is you're no longer going to be holding Zela. Okay. So if we can, just to now distill the entire Gemara that we've done from the top of the Amun to this point in time, basically there are now two opinions regarding Pshara. One is Aser, that's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, Benosho, Rabbi Yosef Glili, and the other one is Mitzvah, that's Rabbi Yeshua Ben Karcha. Now, there's a lot of in-between, but that was just simply how to explain the various psukim that seem to favor one position over another position. Continuing now in the Gemara, here we get to a third opinion. Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh Amar Shaim Shabbat Lefanech Ledin Ashel Tishma Divrayim O Mishin Tishma Divrayim V'yata Yodeh Lehechan Din Oteh Atar Rishay Lamar Lehem Tzu Ubitzu. So, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, you can offer compromise up to a point. And that point is until they come into the court, or they come into the court but you don't know their arguments. However, Mishitishma Divrahim, once you hear the arguments of each of the litigants, and now you have an inkling in terms of which way justice should go, so you no longer can offer compromise. So basically, according to Rosh Hashanah and Manasseh, it is a blended view of compromise versus din. So he's not on the extremes of either Isser or Mitzvah, but basically up to a point. Okay. A pasuk that we're going to be hearing a number of times over the course of this morning. Pasuk's in Mishlei, 17th parak of Mishlei. So, the way we're understanding it right now is potamayim. Potamayim means the release of water. Water over here in this context means machlokas, meaning there's strife. So, reshis madon, so v'lifnei hiskala, so before it is revealed. Meaning before we know what each of the litigants are saying, so at that point in time you can extend some form of compromise. But once the litigants are revealing what they are arguing, so at that point in time, no longer is compromise an option. So, and the Gemara makes exactly this point. So before you hear exactly what they're arguing about, so you could be no taste. You can give up on the justice, and you can offer compromise. However, but once the argument is revealed, meaning once you, the judge, are hearing the arguments on both sides of litigation, so then you can't give up on it, meaning now you have to judge the case. Okay. In terms of Girsa, we have the words Reish Lakish. Perhaps it should be changed. Reish Lakish Amar Shnayim Shabau Ladin Echad Rach VeEchad Kasha. So two people going into court. One of them is a gentle person. The other one is not so gentle. So Achal Tishma Divrayim Omish Tishma Divrayim V'Yata Yodel Echad Dinota Atarishol Amar Lahem Ein Ani Nitzkak Lachem. Before the case is opened up in front of you, so you can excuse yourself from the case. Shem nischayiv chazak v'nim chazak v'dfo. Because one of the litigants is a really difficult person, and if you rule against him, he knows he's going to come after you. So you do, as a judge, have a limited amount of time where basically you can excuse yourself from the case. Mishatishma divrayim, however, once you start hearing the case and start hearing litigation, and you have now an inkling in terms of which direction we're going, at that point in time you no longer can excuse yourself from the case. The pasuk says that don't be afraid of a man, meaning once you are a judge and once you're hearing the case, so now you have to adjudicate and don't be afraid. Rav Yeshua Mekarcha Omer Minayin L'Tamid Sheyoshev L'Fnei Rabo V'Rav Z'chus Anev V'Chov V'Lasher. Let us imagine, says Rav Yeshua Mekarcha, that you are a student sitting in front of your Rebbe, and your Rebbe is in the process of adjudication. Now, generally speaking, One should not correct his Rebbe. And if the Rebbe made a mistake, so one should gently, politely suggest, ask. Perhaps it should go this way. However, the Gemara over here is talking about within the context of a court case where you're actually seeing your Rebbe in the middle of a court case making a mistake. And obviously, the mistake that would be made in ruling would be detrimental to the litigants. So, and specifically, you see that there could be another argument in favor of the poor person, or another argument that would obligate the wealthy person. So at that point in time now, so your Rebbe's about to make a mistake, and furthermore, compounded by the fact that the poor person is going to be ruled against erroneously. So what should you do, you the Talmud? So you should speak up. Meaning at this point in time now you have an obligation to speak up, Shenemar, and it's based on the same pasuk, Lo Sagur Mimneish, don't be afraid. Meaning, generally speaking, there's Yira. A Talmud has Yira of his Rebbe. But under these circumstances, don't be afraid and you should speak up. Rav Chanina Omer Lo Sachnes Tvarcha Mimneish. V'yu Eidim Yodim Is Mihein Ma'idim. V'lifne Mihein Ma'idim. So Rav Chanin says, Lo sachnis devarecha mipnei ish. So don't conceal your words because of the ish, because of the man. And he goes on to explain. V'yu edim yodim es mihein me'idim. Make sure that the witnesses know in front of whom they're testifying, meaning in front of Akash Baruch Hu. V'lifnei mihein me'idim, in front of Akash Baruch Hu. Mi asid li par mehem, who is eventually going to take retribution if in fact they don't give proper testimony, they withhold testimony, they lie. Keep reminding everybody that we are in a court case and everything we say is lifnei Hashem. And the judges also should have all this in mind as well, meaning everything is in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar Elokim Mitzav Ba'adas Kel. You're not judging man, meaning it looks like you're judging man. It looks like it's a regular court case, but kila Hashem. But rather, what we're doing is, to the best of our understanding, kaviyachol, we're judging God. Meaning, everything we're doing is in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and so therefore we have to be as careful as we possibly can. Shema yomar hadayim ali b'tzarizah. So finally, one can easily imagine that at this point in time, so who wants to be a dayan? And why do I need the headache? And all we're talking now about is if there's malfeasance, if there's malpractice, retribution, Akash Baruch Hu is going to take it out on the Dayan. And so easily one can understand and ascertain that Dayan will conclude, okay, thank you, but no thank you. Right? Love the title, didn't love the responsibility. So no thank you. Tam alam imchem b'davar mishpat. So the Akash Baruch Hu is together with the judges. Ein lo ladayin lamasha ein avroos. And as far as the judge is concerned, what is his responsibility? His responsibility to judge the case as he sees it. As he sees it. So in other words, he cannot be held liable or responsible for anything that he did not know about. Any information that was not disclosed to him is not within his purview of responsibility. The only thing that he's going to be responsible for is that which is presented in front of him. Under those circumstances, he's to be judging what is correct based on the information given to him. Hechidami. Gemar Din. Okay, we talked about the Gemar Din being a significant moment. So once we have hit the point of Gemar Din, so at that point in time, compromise is, according to everybody, not an option. So the Gemara says, what exactly is the parameters of the Gemar Din? So the Gemara says, what we would have thought, and truth of the matter is we saw this yesterday as well, the Gemar Din is the point where the verdict is rendered by the judges. You're innocent, you're guilty. Amar Rav, halacha k'Rav Yehoshua ben Karcha. The Gemara over here says that of the opinions that we've seen so far today, and again, if we could just distill, we've really seen three basic opinions. The first of Rabbi Elazar ben Osho, Rav Yosef Galili, also lived Tzoa. The opinion of Rav Yehoshua ben Karcha, mitzvah lived Tzoa. And Rabbi Shimon ben Manasya, who says up to the point of opening comments by the litigants. So, the Gemara, and I should just add, opening comments of the litigants, and you, the judge, have now an idea of where this is headed. So the Gemara says, of the... Well, the Gemara assumes that he doesn't.
Even if you know already where the din is supposed to go,
So again, so just wait a little bit more. The Gemara is going to flesh it out. There's more Gemara coming up on this topic. Okay, so Ini. So with the Gemara quotes the name of Rav, the halacha falls like Rav Yeshua ben Karcha. So right now, we are thinking that the halacha is mitzvah litzela, that it's preferable to make compromise. So the Gemara says, "Va'ravuna tamida de Rav hava." So the Gemara says, "Well, let's follow. Rav told us that the halacha was Rav Yeshua, like Rav Yeshua Mekarcha. We know that Rav Huna was a student of Rav, and ki havo asa lekame de Rav Huna. And when litigants would come in front of Rav Huna, in front of his court, Amar lo, he would say to them, 'Idina be'isa, pshar be'isa.' So Rav Huna says, 'Let me give you the menu.'" This is now Rav Huna serving as the judge, presenting the menu. And on today's menu, we have either we can go din or we can go pshara. So we can go with strict justice or we can go with compromise. So and he offered them as two viable options. So the Gemara says, so it's a little bit difficult to understand. If the halacha falls like Rav Yeshua Mekarcha, and it's a mitzvah liftsoa, so it shouldn't be a menu with two viable options. What it should be is the judge should open up with, are we interested in compromising? Let's compromise. Then if compromise is rejected, then we're going to go to din. But why would Rav Huna start off with two viable options? Answers the Gemara. My mitzvah nami dekam Rav Yeshua Mekarcha. So the Gemara says, at this point in time, we didn't properly understand Rav Yeshua Mekarcha. When he said mitzvah, what he meant was, top of Zion Amud Aleph, mitzvah lemeimer lehu, idina b'isa yipshar b'isa. So the Gemara says, now what he was saying was, is that you have to present it as an option at the beginning. That's what he's meant by mitzvah. Mitzvah is that open up pshara as an option. Compromise is one of the two options that we have today. Either compromise or justice or strict judgment, and let the litigants then decide which way to go. So the Gemara says, Ipshar b'is, I'm sorry, so idina b'isa pshar b'isa, hainu tanakama. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, so then, essentially, isn't he saying the same thing as the Tanakama? So the Tanakama was of the opinion that at the point of Gemar Din, so then you can no longer be Boseya. So, but before the Gemar Din, according to the Tanakama, so it sounds like you should make it optional. But now, that's the same thing as Rav Yeshua Mekarcha. Now Rav Yeshua Mekarcha is seemingly saying the same exact thing as the Tanakama, and why was it presented as if they were two separate opinions? The Gemara says there's a distinction. Ika beinahu mitzvah. So the Gemara says, Rav Yeshua Mekarcha savar mitzvah, Tanakama savar rishos. So the Gemara says like this. The difference goes like this. Rav Yeshua Mekarcha says that mitzvah meaning you must offer it as an option. When the litigants come into the courtroom and they are about to present their case, you, the judge, now first must offer them compromise as an option. Masha Enkein, according to the Tanakama, no. Meaning, if they want compromise, fine. It's certainly viable option, but you don't have to prompt them, the litigants, that this is one of the two options. Okay. The Gemara says, I'm sorry, Rishu Mekarcha Savar Mitzvah. Tanakama Savar Rishas. Hainu de Rabbi Mishum Emanasya. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, so now the way we're presenting the Tanakama is exactly like Rabbi Shimon Emanasya. Remember, Rabbi Shimon Emanasya said that, that pshara, that compromise is an option until you start hearing the arguments of the litigants. From that point in time, it's no longer an option. Now the way we're setting up the Tanakama pretty much is going in that very same vein. And if that's true, so again, why is it presented as two different opinions? So the Gemara says, again, there's going to be a subtle difference between the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon ben Manasya. And that is, that according to the Tanakama, you start hearing the arguments of the two litigants, you still have an option to present compromise as an option. The Masha Enkein, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Manasya, once you hear opening remarks from the litigants, and you, the judge, now have an idea of where we're going, that's it. At that point in time, compromise is closed. So the Gemara now, is going to go back. So, I'm sorry. Really, I should have paused at that point in time. Summarize, because that really now ends the, at least the presentation of all the opinions regarding where we stand in terms of compromise. We are now just finishing up, wrapping up four different opinions amongst the Gemara in terms of where we are in terms of compromise. We have the Tanna Kamma, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua Ben Karcha, and Rabbi Shimon Ben Menasya. And after fleshing it out, the Gemara sided with Rabbi Yeshua Ben Karcha, which is the position of mitzvah liftsoa. But even within that, the Gemara qualified that what he meant by that is that mitzvah to present it as an option. Meaning it's not a first option in terms of it, it's just simply to be presented in the very beginning as one of the two options. And then as far as the other opinions are concerned, the Gemara fleshed out exactly where the other opinions stand. Okay. And the Rambam follows like Rabbi Yeshua Ben Karcha, as Paskin by Rav, as we just presented, as we just understood, that you have to present in the beginning as one of the two options. Okay. At what point in time, I'm just asking a question which I don't know exactly know the answer to, at what point in time is it going to be closed? Meaning when is compromise no longer going to be an option? So that part I'm not... Right. Well, that's Rabbi Shimon Ben Menasya. I don't know if we follow that position. Okay, that I should have researched, but I don't that part I don't know. Okay, where do we continue now in the Gemara? We're in Zayin Amud Aleph. We are about 8 lines from the top of the Amud, and Upligid Rabbi Tanchum. Now you'll remember that we had the pasuk Ubotzei Berach Nitz Hashem, and in that pasuk we've already given a number of explanations, three to be specific, in terms of what that pasuk means. Either it is an anti-compromise viewpoint, where Botzea means to compromise, or it's an anti-bracha on stolen items, drasha, or we gave a third explanation earlier, that it's an anti-Yehuda, meaning when Yehuda said, Ma betza, ki na roga zachinu, so one shouldn't compliment his position. Okay, so those are three interpretations that we already gave in the pasuk. The Gemara now is going to give another interpretation. It's actually what's said in reference to the Egel Hazav, Shenemar Vayara Aaron Vayivan Mizbeach, Lifanov. Aaron saw and he built a Mizbeach. Now, obviously, Aaron was involved and more than involved, instrumental in the fashioning of the Egel Hazav. Now he saw something and then he built it. What did he see? The Gemara's question. He saw that chor was shechted in front of him. In fact, Rashi points out, if you read the psukim really carefully, you can actually encrypt that in the psukim. I'm going back and just rereading the pasuk. Vayaron vayiven. Now vayiven means to build, but Rashi says it could also come from the word havana, meaning Aaron understood. The next word is mizbeach. Could be also read as Zavoach, which means shechted. Meaning Aaron understood, based on the fact that Chor was shechted, that he was next. Meaning Aaron was next in line to be killed. So Amar Ilo Shamana Lahu Hashta Avda Lahu Kida Avda Bechor. So if I don't do what they're asking me to do, which is to build the Egal Zav, so they're going to do the same thing to me that they did to Chor. Umikayim B. And now Aaron is coming to now a, and say this carefully, a compromise with himself regarding, should I allow myself to be killed, or should I be complicit in the building of the Egel? And now what he's going to do is justify, rationalize, that it's better to participate and lead the Jewish people in the Egel Zav rather than be killed. And that's the compromise right now, which in the context of our Gemara, the Gemara is being critical about, because now this is the Gemara's understanding of the word Botzea Berach Nietz Hashem. That when the person is making a compromise, Nietz Hashem, it's really a blasphemy, meaning it's not good. So the Gemara says, now what is this compromise? Going back to the Gemara, reading inside. Now it's a pasuk that we're going to be reading a week from now, in a little more than a week from now. It's from Megillas Eicha. So, meaning on the day that was killed in the Beis Hamikdash, Kohen V'Navi. Meaning, it is such a tragedy where both a Kohen and a Navi dies, and it ultimately will lead to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So now Aaron, referring to himself, now obviously the Pasuk in Eicha is not referring to Aaron, it's referring to I'm sorry. Please forgive me. It's referring to Zechariah ben Yehoyada, who was actually killed earlier during Bais Rishon. But in other words, the Gemara in Gittin, and if you go to Kinos, you'll hear somebody talking about it. But the destruction of the first Beis Hamikdash was as a result of this killing of our killing, I should say, of Zechariah. Anyway. So when you have a Kohen and a Navi who is killed, so the consequences are devastating. And it's the kind of thing where you cannot recover from. So Aaron now is cheshbonning out. He is now making an accounting in his head, a reckoning, and he's saying, you know what? Better that I should make the egel rather than have them kill me. Having them kill me is going to be the execution of Kohen Venavi, and that would lead to something which is irreparable. So therefore, he felt that it'd be better if he made the egel. Now again, I'm trying my best to present the Gemara as objectively as possible. In the context of our Gemara, the Gemara is now saying, and the at least according to Rabbi Tanchum, and we should be critical about that. Meaning, that wasn't good. That wasn't the right cheshbon. Now, Vahani Tanai. Okay, going back to another point that we made earlier, right, where we quoted the pasuk Poter Mayim Reshis Madon.
Incidents that was talked about to us in Gemara is for what reason? For knowing and understanding what the
well,
should be.
Honestly, it's just another way to understand the pasuk. So once the Gemara quoted the pasuk of Botzei Beirach Nietz Hashem, so the Gemara now is offering all the various explanations of that pasuk. No, in other words, it's just simply another way to deal with this pasuk. The Gemara gave three on Vav Amud Beis. The Gemara now is giving a fourth here on Zayin Amud Aleph. Okay, Poter Mayim Reshis Madon. This is another pasuk that we quoted earlier, and this was the idea we extracted from this pasuk, the idea that once the litigants present their case, so then compromise is no longer an option. At least that was Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh's viewpoint, and part of that was extracted from this pasuk. So, what are the other tanaim going to do with this pasuk? Gemara says that's where we're headed next. So my darshi bei, what do they do with this pasuk? Rav Hamnuna, Dama Rav Hamnuna, and Tchilas Dino Shel Adam Nidon Ella Al Divrei Sora. So the Gemara says that what they do with this pasuk is they darshan a different point, and that's the following: that when a person is going to be judged La'asid Lavo after 120 years, when he moves on to the Olam Ha'emes, so he's going to be judged over how much Torah he learned. Shenamar. Poter Mayim Reshis Madon. That the beginning of his judgment, Madon from the word Din, the beginning of his judgment is Poter Mayim. It's going to be with water. Water over here, obviously, being represented by Torah. The question that Tosfos asks over here, which not the first time Tosfos discusses this point, discussed it back in Shabbos as well. Tosfos discusses over here is that this doesn't fit well with the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos talks about the questions that we're going to ask once we get to Shamayim. And the first question asked over there in the Gemara in Shabbos is, Nasasa v'nasata be'emuna. Right? Did you do business faithfully and honestly? That's the first question, at least as per the Gemara in Shabbos. Our Gemara over here in Sanhedrin says that the first question the person asks is going to be over Torah. See Tosfos for multiple answers to this question, and the Gra gives just an amazing answer to this question. The Gra says that the six questions, if you look over there in the Gemara Shabbos and you look carefully at the six questions that you'll ask, you'll be able to realize that the six questions are actually referring to the six Siddurim of Mishnayos. And so that really there's no stira, there's no contradiction whatsoever between our Gemara and the Gemara Shabbos. Our Gemara says that you're going to be asked about Torah, and the Gemara over there is going to be asked, you're going to be questioned on all six Siddurim. Now, obviously, the ramifications of such a comment by the Vilna Gaon is that we need to be familiar with all six Siddurim. Okay, that's, you know, it's a nice shot, but it means that we have to invest in... Yeah, right. It means that we have to invest a lot more time into learning. Okay, let's continue in the Gemara.
The only way you can be nice and the right way
is by knowing Torah. Okay, good. There are many Baruch Hashem. There are many answers to this question. Very good, very good. So the Gemara says. Amar Rav Huna, second wide line on the Amud. Amar Rav Huna, Hai Tigra, Demaya Letzinora Debitka Damya. So Rav Huna offers another explanation, and that is as follows. Let's say you start fighting. So the beginning of a fight is like it's comparable Letzinora Debitka. It's like basically when there's a small breach, and in other words, then some water's creeping into your field. What's going to happen is it's going to get wider and wider and wider. So a little fight is going to escalate very quickly into a bigger fight. That's what's meant by this pasuk. So, kevin deravach ravach. Once it starts opening, it's going to get wider and wider. Abai keshisha amar adam leguda degamla. Kevin dekam kam. Abai gives another understanding. You know what fighting is like? It's like a plank on a bridge, where at first it's wobbly, it's shaky. Then one person steps on, another person steps on, eventually it's going to get secure. When you're fighting with somebody, so the truth of the matter is, in the beginning, the fight is, it's not really based on anything solid, it's just a fight. But eventually what ends up happening is that each one entrenches, digs their heel into the dirt, and the fight can become solidified, and you and the other person now are going to be fighting over something which, quite frankly, never was based on anything. But now, why are you fighting? Because we're fighting, obviously. Obviously. Gemara gives us a siman in terms of remembering the next upcoming Gemaras. The Gemara now is going to be giving a lot of smart sayings. And for each one of the smart sayings, we're going to have a pasuk that's going to support it. So, number one. How would Avakamer of Azza? A person was walking and saying, each one of these expressions is going to start off with this refrain. So the person was walking and saying, Tuvia Deshama the Adish. Fortunate is the person who hears himself being maligned and Adish. Rashi explains it comes from the word Dash, and he's used to it. And whatever, meaning I hear somebody talking about me, that's fine. Okay, move on. Chafua b'shisa mea. I'm sorry. Chafua b'shisa mea. He's gonna be able to pass over 100 bad things because of it. Meaning that if you don't get lured into fighting with somebody, even though you hear yourself being disparaged and you just walk along, you're gonna save yourself so much aggravation. Amar Shmuel Rav Yehuda Kraksiv. Shmuel says to Rav Yehuda, it's not just a smart saying, it's a pasuk. Poter mayim reshis madon. So once water is released, it's the beginning of Madon. And here in our new interpretation, the Gemara is now saying Resh Mea Dine. The word Reshis Madon could be a contraction of 100 different court cases that you can avoid as long as you don't get lured in the first time, right? Reshis me'adine from a contraction of reshis madon. Rashi also points out that the word madon in of itself, gematria, is 100. I normally don't do gematria, but if Rashi quotes it, then I'll say it. So fine. Next, number two. Ha'ud avakam av azol atarti tlas ganave lo miktel. Another saying is that when you have a thief and he steals, let's say two times, let's say even three times, he's not going to be killed for it. Meaning, there'll be a certain amount of Akash Baruch Hu not letting it slide, but being a little bit patient. But Amar Shmuel Rav Yehuda Kraksiv Koamar Hashem Al Shosha Pishe Yisrael Al Arba Lo Ashivena. So the Gemara says, yeah, and we have, and again, Shmuel makes the same point, and that is, it's a pasuk. The pasuk says that Akash Baruch Hu will allow Poshe Yisrael to do it once, two, even three times. At the fourth time, Lo Ashivena. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu, at that point in time, no longer lets it slide. Ha'ud Avakam Av Azo, the Gemara gives us another aphorism, which is, Shev Bir L'Shamana, V'chad L'Avid Bish. If you have a Shamana, a man of Shalom, a man of peace, so he's going to pass over one pit and a second pit, and he's going to successfully navigate seven different pits, and he won't get ensnared in any one of the pits. However, for a man who is quarrelsome, give him one pit, he's going to fall in it, and he's going to be ensnared. I'm Shmuel Rav Yehuda Kraksiv, and again, it's a pasuk. Ki sheva yipol tzadik v'kam. The tzaddik is going to fall 7 times and then he's going to get up. In other words, it's no problem for a tzaddik, for a person of peace, to just simply circumnavigate or fall in and extricate himself from a pit. Next. This one's hard, I'll admit it. But you go to court, you go into litigation, you were found guilty, you're the one who has to pay. The shirt is taken off your back so that you can pay. So how do you walk out of the court? Lizamer zemer. You should be singing as you go out of the court. Veleza borcha as you're walking on your way. And the reason why, as Rashi explains, is because when the court ruled against you, that means that you were holding on to Gezel. And when the court ruled against you and took it away from you, so now you're no longer holding on to Gzela. So obviously you don't feel good because the court ruled against you, but it was done obviously for your best interest. You should be singing as you walk out of court. I'm a smaller of you to Kroksiv. Once again, it's a pasuk. Vagam kolam azeh al mekamo yevo b'shalom. That when things go back to the rightful place, so people are at peace with one another. So you should be happy, even though you were ruled against you. Next, ha'udav kamar va'azel hinayma v'dikula shapil. That when she's falling asleep, the basket falls down. Okay, the Gemara over here, the visualization over here is the woman with the basket on her head, right, carrying from place to place. But if she gets tired and she starts nodding her head, so obviously the basket's going to fall. And basically, this is the Gemara's expression of that if a person is lazy, so it leads to poor quality work. Again, it's a pasuk. And the pasuk says that out of laziness, so the ceiling is going to start caving in. So that laziness leads to poor quality. That if a person is trustworthy, or at least you thought the person was trustworthy, sometimes what's going to happen is that he's going to raise his fist against you and he's going to stand against you. So in other words, although you think that you can trust people, and in general you can, but sometimes what's going to happen is that the person you think you can trust is going to end up going against you. I'm a Shmuel Rav Yehuda Kroksiv. Once again, the Shmuel tells the student Rav Yehuda, it's a pasuk. Gami Shlomi Asher Betachti Bo. The person that I thought I trusted ended up not being somebody I can count on. Hoda Avakamar Va'azo Ki Rechimtan Havei Aziza Apucha Desasare Shchivan Hashta Delo Aziza Rechimtan Puya Barshisan Garmide Losagi Lan. Another expression is that when the love between two people is really strong, the word aziza from the word oz, if the love between two people is really strong, so they can live together, husband and wife, even on the edge of a sword. Perhaps a little hyperbolic, but the idea, of course, is that they can get along and they can live in a very confined area, and that would be fine. They love one another. However, but if their love is not strong, puya barshisan garmide losagi lan. You can get a king-size bed. You can get Purya Bar Shisan, a bed made up of 60 amas, and they cannot coexist on such a bed together if their love is not strong. I'm Rav Huna Kraiksiv. Once again, over here, he quotes a pasuk. Interesting, over here, it's not Shmuel quoting the pasuk, it's Rav Huna. But there's a pasuk that supports this as well. The Gemara over here is talking about the love between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Jewish people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Jewish people can coexist even coming off of the top of the Aron. V'tanya Aron Tisha v'kaparos tefacharei kanasara. Now we know that the height of the Aron together with the covering of the Aron only is 10 tefachim high. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really kaviyachol. Again, we're just saying this in a way where we can relate and we can understand. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is obviously not a corporal entity. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes down all the way down to within 10 tefachim of the ground. Because the love between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so strong. V'ksiva abayis asher bana ha-melech Shlomo la-Hashem 60 amakov v'sfim rachbo v'shloshim amakov aso. And then the building that was built by Shlomo ha-melech, the first base of Mikdash, 30 amas high. Which means now that obviously the love is not as intense, not as strong. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a little bit higher. U'v'sof ksiv kol ma-Hashem ha-shamayim kisiv ha-aretz adom ragli ezo bayis asher tivnu li. Meaning I can't even be contained in the house anymore, and the house was 30 amas high. So once again, this idea that When the love is strong, we can be confined within a very small area and we'd be good. Once the love is no longer strong, so we need... right, this town ain't big enough for the two of us. My mashma dehalo saguru lishna dekenushehu. Okay. Earlier... Okay, go back now to a point that we discussed earlier in the daf, where we said that when a Talmud sees his Rebbe in court judging a case, and he knows that his Rebbe is saying something that's not right, don't be afraid, open your mouth. And it's based on the pasuk of Lo Saguru. Lo Saguru means not to withhold. How do I know that? The Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Krav, Yain Lo Sishtev, Lo Sa'agur. Don't drink the wine, don't withhold it. Rav Acher, Yaakov, Amar Me'achot, Tachim B'Kaitz, Lachma, Agra B'Katsir, Me'achla. A collection in the summertime of your food to withhold. Rav Acha Breid, Rav Ika Amar Mehacha Ogir Bekayt Ben Maskil. Somebody who's smart is going to withhold the produce in the summertime. Let's do a little bit more for this morning. Amar Shmuel Bar Nachmini. Again, there's Simanim. And then the Gemara continues. Amar Shmuel Bar Nachmin, Amar Rav Yonasan, Kol Dain Shedan Din Emes Lamita Mashra Shechina BeYisrael. If you judge a case correctly, truthfully, so it's Hashras Hashchina, the Shchina comes down. Shenamar Elokim Mitzav Badaskal, be careful Elokim Yishmot. V'chol Dain Sheino Dan Din Emes Lamita Goren L'Shchina Shinistalek. Conversely, if you don't judge the case correctly and truthfully, so that is siluk hashchina, the removal of the divine presence. Mitzvah shenemar mishod aniyam enkas evyonim ata ekom yomar Hashem. Va'amar shmo bar nachmeni amar evyonasan kodain shenota mizeh v'nota lazeh. If you have a judge taking from one person and giving to another person, shelo kidin, and it was done inappropriately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu notam imenu nafshal. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the life of the judge. Now, again, that's harsh, and it goes back to a point that we made earlier this morning. Meaning, it's understandable that a judge can say, I want no part of this, the responsibility is awesome. The Gemara over here is talking about the awesomeness of the responsibility. Shenema al tigzol dal ki dalhu. Don't steal from the poor, he's poor. Va'al titkeh ani bishar. Don't press him down. Ki Hashem yariv rivam. Because what if you do that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will fight their fights. V'kavetz kovam nafesh. Take the soul of the one who wrongs the poor person. So if you're a judge and you wrongfully judge against the poor person, so you fit in that category. Amar Shmuel Bar Nachmini Amar Rav Yonasan La'olam Yireh Dayin Atzmo Ki Ilu Charev Menachas Lo Ben Yarkosav V'Ge'enem Pesucha Lo Mitachtav. The kind of awe Yira that a judge should have is he should be viewed as if the sword is between his thighs and that Gehenim is open up below him. Shenamar. The Gemara quotes the Pasuk from Shir Hashirim. He named it Taso Shoshama Shishim Gibram Savivla, me Gibar Yisrael, Kulam Chuzay Cherem, Mulundem Mechama, Ish Chabal Yerechal, me Pachar by Leilot. And the Gemara goes on to Darshan, me Pachta Shal Gehenim Shadom El Laila, similar to the night, which is like Gehenim. Darsh Rav Yoshi of Itamar of Nachmar Yitzhak, my Dichsiv. The Gemara quotes the Pasuk. Beis Avikom Amar Hashem Dino Lavoka Mishpavi Sila Gazum Yado Sheikh. So, the Pasuk describes how you are doing justice in the early morning. And the Gemara asked the question, what does that mean, early morning, you judge? You can judge the whole day. It means like this. If you have clarity on the matter, like the early morning, where you could see everything nice and clear, so then, yeah, good. So then the judge should judge the case based on his clear understanding and his clear conclusion. However, if there is uncertainty on the part of the judge, don't guess the conclusion. And don't come to a verdict that you think is right. In other words, you have to know to the best of your ability that this is the correct conclusion. The Gemara quotes another pasuk that arrives at the same conclusion. A pasuk that we quoted just recently, the pasuk, difficult to translate, say to my sister that you are wisdom. The Gemara understands it now in the following context. If you know the halacha as clearly as you know, your sister's usher to you. It's a pasuk in Chumash. Everyone knows it. It's clear. So if in this particular case, you have that kind of clarity of thought, so omrehu, then good. Then you should say it. But if not, otherwise you shouldn't say it. Okay. Amar Rav Yeshua Ben Levi, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up with Amar Rav Yeshua Ben Levi.